One of you has a question about amphibians.
My name is Morris. I am 6 years old, and I have a question about why salamanders have to live in wet habitats.
Stick around after this episode to learn more about salamanders. BUTY is supported by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit Progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More love is a good thing for everybody, and there cannot be too much.
This is But Why, a podcast for curious kids from Vermont Public Radio. I'm Jane Lindholm, and today we're going to talk about how families grow and change, and what that feels like, the good and the confusing. Families. They can be complicated, especially when the family situation you're used to suddenly changes.
4 years ago, I got a new big brother.
That's Juna. She's 8 years old, and she told us about her family at an event we had recently in Vermont called a listening party. We played episodes of the podcast, and we talked to lots of kids and families. Here's more of what Juna told us about what it was like when her new big brother was adopted.
He came from the same place that I was, but I barely knew him, so that was a new experience for me to have a new big brother. First, I didn't hang out with him, and then, he wanted, to find new friends. He felt like he couldn't fit in, so I tried to help him, and so we became good brother and sister. And now I feel, comfortable with him around now.
Families change in a lot of different ways. Some people, like Juna, get a new sibling who's actually older than they are. In other families, a new baby is born. That's what happened to Lila, who's 6. Her mom is Melody Baudette, who produces this show, and Lila has a 3-year-old brother.
It was really exciting to have a new baby brother.
Why?
Because I would have someone else to play with.
When did you realize that you loved your brother?
When he was born, because he was really cute, and I loved him right away.
Penelope was pretty young when her little sister was born, so her memories are a little foggy.
The only thing I remember from that day is that I ate cornflakes for breakfast. Sometimes she's annoying, but mostly she's a good sister.
Deba is 7, and he has a little brother.
And he was adopted, though, and I'm adopted, too, and that's the new sibling in my family.
Deba says he had mixed feelings when his little brother joined the family.
Well, a little jealous because he got all the attention and kind of happy, too.
Those kinds of feelings of jealousy are totally normal and okay to have, and they show up in all kinds of family dynamics. Sometimes it's not a sibling at all who changes your family. Sometimes it's a new parent. I, for example, have 4 parents, my mom, my dad, my stepmom, and my stepdad. And at the beginning, it was tough. Not only because I had to get used to living in 2 different houses, but because it also meant that I had to get to know 2 new parents and figure out if I could love them all without making any one of them feel bad. Could I love my stepdad without making my father think I loved him any less? The lucky answer, for me anyway, was yes, I could. But one of the people who really helped me figure out my confusing feelings was a writer named Amy Bloom. Sometimes reading other people's stories can give you some ideas about your own situation. Amy Bloom wrote a short story many years ago called Love is Not a Pie. It's a story for adults, not kids, but its message is one that I think will resonate with all of us. What she means when she says love is not a pie is that love doesn't have to be divided up like slices of apple pie. It can grow with each new individual person you decide to love. I asked Amy Bloom to come on the show to talk about how she thought up the concept of love is not a pie.
If there's any stage in our life in which it is true that love is not a pie, it's when we are kids. The way your life is and the way you are in the world and your role in the world, Love does not have to be a pie. It may be difficult sometimes because what is required is when you're a kid to think about how you really feel and what you really want. And there may be times when what that is I don't want to divide myself in any way. And other times where you feel like you got plenty to go around.
So if you're a kid right now and somebody new is coming into your family, whether it's a new step parent or half siblings, or maybe your parents are having a new baby or adopting a new baby, and you're worried about this idea that you might not get as much love from the people who've been loving you, how should you think about that?
Well, I think there's a real difference between a new, very little person coming into the world and having to find your way in a relationship with a big person, with another adult. Because in my experience, what's hard for kids with a new grown-up, with a new step-parent or an older half-sibling, is finding your way in the relationship with a grown-up that you don't really know, and you don't know how they feel about you. I mean, we certainly hope that they love you and like you, but you're both strangers. And part of the thing I think you worry about when you're a kid is, how will Dad feel about me liking, never mind loving, this new guy, the stepdad? How will Mom feel about it? How will I feel about it? How will my sister and brother feel about it that we have this new half-sibling who's 20 years older than we are? What kind of relationship is that? Sort of like an uncle, not really like a brother. And all of that's hard to figure out. I think that's why this idea that love is not a pie sometimes can help. The idea that you don't have to divide yourself up. And I think whether it's a grown-up coming into your life or a baby coming into your life, you don't have to divide yourself up. You can feel what you feel. And sometimes it's going to feel great. And if it's a baby, it can be awesome when you're holding the baby or looking at the baby, or the baby smiles at you or says some kind of word to you. And those are really wonderful moments, and you wouldn't want to miss out on those because you were in your room being mad. On the other hand, sometimes you have to be in your room and be mad and think to yourself, how come nobody's getting me breakfast? How come we ran out of cereal? How come everybody forgot that today was my little league game or my soccer game? Why were they so busy with the baby that they forgot? But the fact is, once in a while, they're going to be so busy with the baby that they forget. They don't forget they love you. But the yelling baby with the dirty diaper is sometimes going to go to the front of the line, even though it would be nice if no one was ever in the front of the line in front of us. But that's not possible.
Do you think it's okay to tell your parents if you're feeling worried about this stuff?
I think it's really important to tell your parents. And I think one of the ways that we show that we love people is we tell them. We say, this doesn't feel so good. Or I'm worried that when the baby comes, there won't be enough time for me. Or the baby is here and I'm really missing doing this thing that we used to do. And we love our parents, and we don't want to make them unhappy, but it is important to tell them how we feel, because otherwise they can't help. And it's also true that sometimes our parents are themselves a little overwhelmed. Sometimes it's a little much for them, and they're going to ask for our help. And sometimes it feels great to be able to help. And sometimes it feels kind of like a lot of work to have to help. But either way, it's part of being in a family.
Coming up, more with author Amy Bloom. But first, a message for the adults who are listening. Support for our show comes from Oak Meadow. How is school going this year? If the answer is not great, maybe it's time to rediscover the joy of learning. Oak Meadow provides student-centered homeschooling curriculum and teacher-supported distance learning for K through 12. To learn how homeschooling can work for your family, visit oakmeadow.com. This is But Why, a podcast for curious kids. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today, we're talking about what it's like when your family changes with Amy Bloom, author of Love is Not a Pie. I asked Amy how she came up with that idea.
Well, I think what we all see, especially if you have a couple of brothers and sisters and somebody puts the pie on the table, once somebody takes a slice, there's less for everybody else. And my feeling is that love is not like that. That more love is a good thing for everybody. And there cannot be too much. If you have two grandparents who love you, four is also great. And you know what? Six isn't so bad. And even eight isn't so bad. Are you going to be able to see everybody the same amount of time? Probably not. Because if you have eight grandparents and let's say four parents, your time is going to be divided up, even if the love is not. It's also okay to have preferences. To prefer one thing to another is not to turn your back on one thing. It's like you can like Disneyland, you can like the Epcot Center, and you can prefer Harry Potter. Doesn't mean Epcot is terrible. It just means if you only had 4 hours, you might prefer to spend them at Harry Potter. And we don't usually say that to people directly. We don't say, hey, Grandma, you're really terrific, but if I've only got 3 days of vacation, I'd really like to be with Grandpa Saul in the big city. Because that would hurt people's feelings. But you can tell your parents. And if it's a question of having to divide your time with your parents, it's still okay to have a preference. And it's okay to be clear that that's a preference. When you're a kid, one of the things that's really hard is you don't run the show. But one of the things that's also true when you're a kid is to recognize that grown-ups don't run the show as much as you think they do.
Did you ever have an experience where you felt like you got to run the show a little bit, even when you were young?
I wouldn't say that I was in a family in which children running the show was strongly encouraged. But I do remember, for example, this was not so much about love, but about different ways that families approach things. I really wanted to ride a horse when I was growing up. And my mother found horseback riding very scary. And my father found horseback riding completely not to the point of anything. And I said to my mother for months, I'd really like to ride. I'd really like to ride. And she was like, okay. And then finally I said, I really want to ride. And she said, you find a stable and you figure out how to get there and you can ride. And so I looked up a bunch of phone numbers. I found a stable. I looked up the bus route. I found how to get there. My mother did buy me a pair of boots, and I went off and rode. And sometimes one of the things that we forget as kids is we also have access to information. We can look things up. We don't have to just wait for our parents to make everything happen the way we want it to happen. Look things up. Get a little more information and help the grown-ups do what you want them to do. In terms of being divided up when I was a kid, I had a lot of aunts and uncles, and I can tell you, I certainly preferred going to the chicken farm than sitting around the one-bedroom apartment in the middle of Queens on a summer day. But on the other hand, I preferred the grandfather who was in the apartment in Queens to the people who were at the chicken farm. And so for all of us, it's, well, I prefer this, but there's also that. And making decisions is part of how we grow up. Even when they're hard, even if we make what's not such a great choice, we learn from it. And it seems to me, it's just like riding a bike. It's just like learning to ice skate. You make decisions. Some of them are good ones. Some of them are bad ones. And you learn. And if you're smart, you don't make the same one twice.
Amy Bloom says the most important thing she thinks kids should remember is that you should feel entitled to your own feelings and emotions. It's okay to feel things, and it's okay to have preferences. You can't always get your own way in a family, she says, especially when adults are in charge. But it's still important to know how you feel about things. So if you have a new sibling coming into your world, you may find that your parents and other adults have to divide their time up a little bit more. But they don't have to divide up their love. They don't love you any less just because they love someone else. And you don't have to feel like you only have a certain amount of love to go around either. You can love lots of people, all different kinds of people. New siblings, new cousins, new parents. And you can care about lots of friends, too, without having to choose. It's also okay, of course, to be an only child. Gretchen is 7, and she has no siblings. Well, at least no human siblings.
I have a canine brother, which I call Grendel. Sometimes it feels lonely, but I have no one to bug me. Right. Yes, it feels very nice.
The book that includes the story Love is Not a Pie is called Come to Me. And again, it's not a book for kids, it's a book for adults. But I've always thought about how Amy Bloom characterized love as a valuable idea to keep in mind when I've been in situations that have brought new people into my life. Speaking of new siblings, I'm going to have a new baby any day now. This new tiny person will join our family and have a 2.5-year-old big brother. I'm sure my son Dylan will love the new baby, but also feel confused and sometimes sad and maybe sometimes angry that his parents' attention is divided. But I hope he'll always know how much we love him. And I hope you are able to feel that in your family, too. And don't worry, But Why will keep going with new episodes every 2 weeks. In our next episode, we're answering a question from Sawyer, who wants to know,
how does an engine work?
So be sure to check back in 2 weeks for an answer. But Why is produced by me, Jane Lindholm, along with Melody Baudette for Vermont Public Radio. Our theme music is by Luke Reynolds. Thanks to Aaron Wortlieb for helping us record comments at our recent listening party. Stay curious, and we'll see you soon. Remember our question from before the episode started about salamanders and why they have to live in wet environments? Well, salamanders, like all amphibians, need to keep their skin moist. But water is also important because in spring, our salamanders in the Northeast travel to water to breed. Here's herpetologist Kate Kelly.
So vernal pools fill up in the spring with rain and snow melt, and they will dry out at some point during the year.
How do those mole salamanders, and when we talk about mole salamanders, let's talk about one in particular, the spotted salamander. It's this beautiful, pretty big salamander, kind of grayish with bright yellow spots on it. It's been up in the hills. How does it get to the vernal pool?
Yeah, so in the spring, usually on these first rainy nights of the spring, has to be above freezing, but not by much. They will start to come out from their underground burrows where they've spent the winter and migrate, just walk over the land, to these pools where they're going to breed.
In those pools, salamanders will lay egg masses of 50 to 100 eggs. That's where the young will live out the first part of their life cycle. Spring is a great time to get out and try to see amphibians on the move on dark, rainy nights, or to find their egg masses in springtime pools, called vernal pools, deep in the forest and even in roadside ditches. You can learn more about this in our series Northeast Nature. In this monthly series, we learn more about what's happening outside and offer curriculum and activity guides for all kinds of students. Learn more at butwhykids.org/nature. From PR.